Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Now we're here at the Mill Enterprise Hub in Drogheda to take a look at the Louth constituency and the issues that are facing people here, like employment and crime and immigration. We're joined by five candidates: Independent Kevin Callan, Fianna Fáil's Alison Cumann, Fine Gael's Paula Butterley, Labour's Jed Nash and Sinn Féin's Rory O'Murricu. And you're all very welcome and thank you for joining us on the programme this afternoon. And first of all, before we get into the rest of the issues facing this constituency, the Fine Gael leader Simon Harris appeared on Today with Claire Byrne this morning, where he said there was two Fine Gael candidates running in this constituency amid the ongoing controversy surrounding Fine Gael's other candidate, John McGahan, who was found not guilty in a trial in 2022 for physically attacking Breen White outside a County Louth pub. Now, John McGahan was found to be 65% civilly liable for the assault by a High Court jury, and a video recently emerged of that assault. Let's take a listen now to what the Taoiseach had to say this morning.
Of course, my party are also running two candidates, I should point out, in Louth, and people have an opportunity to vote to support the candidate they wish on Friday.
So are you saying that people in Louth shouldn't vote for John McGahan? They should choose the other candidate?
No, I'm saying there's two candidates selected in Louth for Fine Gael. And I would ask people to support Fine Gael in Louth on Friday. I understand absolutely why people are horrified by the video that they saw. All I would say to people is this: if I, as a leader, don't
detach... Sounds like you don't really want John McGahan elected for Fine Gael.
No, I'm very angry about this situation. I mean, I abhor violence. Absolutely abhor violence. But I do believe he went through a process. He was found not guilty. If he was found guilty, it'd be a very different situation.
Do you want John McGahan on your team, is the simple question.
I want people in Louth to decide based on weighing up his record of service in the community, his time as a senator. And I think people will look at it in the round and then they will decide. Oh.
Paula Butterley, I'll come to yourself on the back of those comments. And the Taoiseach's comments, hardly a ringing endorsement for John McGahan, are they?
I think the Taoiseach was absolutely clear on the matter. We're 4 days out from polling day. There are two Fine Gael candidates to choose from, and there are also other candidates. So naturally, I'm going to be asking the people of Louth to choose me, but there are two Fine Gael candidates to choose from.
Mm. Would you have liked the Taoiseach to make that comment a little earlier? Over the last couple of weeks, he's been asked about it.
I think the Taoiseach has been very clear in his position over the last 2 weeks. I think it's a situation where I've been managing my own campaign and I've been going out on the doors and making the case for myself, and that has been my focus.
Has this issue come up on the doors?
This issue has come up on the doors, as you'd naturally expect, in the last week. It's been handled by myself and my team insofar as we've been asking for the vote for me.
And what are people saying to you?
People were just looking for clarification on the issue, and as it has been pointed out, the process was taken, the process, John went through a process, but I believe this is something also for John.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, I suppose. He hasn't made himself available for interview during the course of this campaign. Do you think he should have?
I think I managed my campaign in where I felt it was best for me and how I could maximise my vote. I believe that John took the course of action that he believed was best for him.
Mm. But your face is on the poster with him.
My face is front and centre, saying number one for Paula Butterley, number two for John McGahan. Mm. But I want the number one votes for Paula Butterley.
But it says number two for John McGahan. So do you support that?
I support that the people of Louth will make their decision in 4 days' time.
You know, it sounds, just from what you're saying there and from what the Taoiseach said earlier, it sounds like the party's not behind John McGahan. There's no vote for John McGahan. I'm not hearing that from you this evening.
Well, I'm his running colleague, but I'm out to get a seat for County Louth as the TD, the Fine Gael TD for County Louth. Yeah. It's only natural that I'd be looking for the vote for myself. But John is still running his campaign, and John can, the people of County Louth can vote for him on Friday.
Well, I suppose the point is, though, it says on your posters, John McGahan number two. So are you recommending to people when you go to the doors to vote John McGahan number two?
I'm looking for the number one vote for myself.
I understand that, but that's not the question.
It's up to the people of County Louth to decide whether they'll give John a number two or a number one.
So you're not saying then on the doors, because normally I've gone canvassing with political candidates myself. I know how it goes, and they'll say, you know, vote for me and give the number two to whoever's on the ticket with them. That's what political candidates say to voters on the doors. Are you not saying that to voters?
Perhaps I'm running a different campaign. I'm looking for the number one for myself.
OK, so you're not saying that in the doors?
No.
OK. Do you think he should be on the ticket?
I think John is entitled to look for the vote in 4 days' time.
All right. I think we might move on, folks. And I want to talk about the issue of immigration, because I know that that has been an issue in this constituency. And indeed, Kevin, we were speaking to you on Drive Time about this way back earlier in the year when it was announced that the D Hotel here in Drogheda was going to be used for asylum seekers. And at the time, you said that the use of the hotel would decimate businesses and tourism in the area. Do you think it's done that?
Well, it absolutely has. The impact of the loss of the hotel will be in the region of 20 million euros over a 3 to 5 year period. So it has had an impact already. And I've spoken to businesses who have been affected. These are small businesses which would have a knock-on effect from tourism. So it has impacted on our economy, absolutely. And on top of that, the decision that was taken and the money that the taxpayer is paying is for a 500-bed facility, which currently has 240 beds because the state didn't check the fire cert, which is a gross waste of taxpayers' money on top of the fact that it's impacting on our economy.
So how should this have been handled, do you think, at the outset?
I was deputy mayor at the time, and I brought a cross party group of colleagues to meet Roderick O'Gorman. And Roderick O'Gorman's response to me when we asked him why he hadn't spoken to, even if not the public reps, the officials in Louth County Council, to see how we would facilitate this. His response to me and a colleague, the current mayor, Paddy McQuillan, reminded me the other day. He said, "I don't do consultation, I do information." And that was an absolutely disgraceful approach to not listening to a local community. And I think it's exactly what we've seen happen down in Kanturk in the last few days as well.
What do you make of that, Alison Cumming?
I think it was very, very badly handled. I think I made that very well known, even though I wasn't a candidate. I was a journalist at the time. But there wasn't enough consultation with local community. There wasn't consultation with those who know the economic impact, and we can clearly see that has happened in the last while. I do welcome, though,
I mean, it's Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green Party government that made these decisions.
And completely. I totally agree with you. And I think there just wasn't enough consultation. There wasn't enough realisation.
There wasn't any consultation.
There wasn't enough realisation that there will be a huge impact. I do welcome the fact now that in the manifesto that we're clearly seeing to avoid entering into contracts with somewhere like hotels, accommodation, care homes, where it is economically vital for the local community to live off these. So that for me is a really, really big change, and I welcome that as well, because, and also the fact that there's going to be a new ministry over this, the Department of Domestic Affairs, because right now we do know that the immigration system is chaotic.
And I do think, whose fault is that?
Well, look, there hasn't been enough coordination. There really hasn't. And I firmly believe as well that there needs to be right now, after this, in new government, an audit, a proper audit of where we stand currently with the immigration system, where assistance is still needed or not needed, if people are, and it's a proper review is needed, and I understand that's going to be expensive, but at the same time, the amount of money that we might save, and we're going to make sure our assistance is going to the right people.
I do want to bring the rest of the panel in, but Paula, I'd like you to comment on that, because it's a Fine Gael Minister for Justice, and your colleague there, Alison, or your colleague in government at least, is saying we have a chaotic immigration system.
I think, you know, it's important to acknowledge that in relation to the D Hotel, you know, mistakes have been made. However, looking forward, I think one of the key issues the Fine Gael are focused on is in terms of accommodation for anybody coming into the country. It has to move in under the Ministry for Justice. It has sat in under Roderick O'Gorman's...
How do you think about this whole situation, how it was handled here in Drogheda?
I think the lack of community engagement was fundamentally a flaw, and that's why we're committed to enhancing and engaging better with the community.
I mean, at the time we were told, we had government representatives on the programme at the time telling us there is engagement.
I believe that at the time it was quite disjointed, and that's why we're fully committed to expanding that community engagement team and also delivering better in terms of services, public services and community engagement. I think that's key.
And can I just put it to the two of you then? Why would people believe you? You're sitting here now, both of you, Alison and Paula, in front of me saying, you know, this is terrible, shouldn't have happened, it's going to be better next time. Why would people believe you? I'll put that to you, Paula, first, and then Alison, and then I want to move on to the rest of the panel.
I think particularly under the leadership of Simon Harris, we have seen, you know, a change in the way things have been handled. We're accelerating the process, we're accelerating the applications. So there has been a change.
New energy. Yeah. Alison?
Also, we have moved on. We went through unprecedented times. We didn't realise just how many Ukrainians, for instance, we were going to take in. And at the time, we were also under pressure right the way across to take in migrants as well under EU law. So right now, we are settling down a little bit and we're able to work with what we have at the moment.
All right, Jed Nash.
Yeah, look, let's not be misled. I mean, questions of migration across the world haven't been addressed. Okay, we still have a challenge in this country. And this is an inevitable consequence of the policy of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party over the last few years to displace people from hotel beds, to impact local economic development and use those resources to accommodate people who are fleeing conflict, who are going through a process under international law in terms of asylum process.
Yeah, what choice do they have, though?
In 2021, Catherine Day developed a very comprehensive report. We are slow, and this government has been very slow, to implement the Catherine Day report. And I want to remind listeners what that was. Six publicly run large-scale centres with the kinds of supports and resources that children who are fleeing conflict, people having their applications processed here,
that
should have.
That was in the middle, though, of the influx of Ukrainians coming here because of the war, wasn't it? I mean, there was an emergency situation.
There was, and we've always accepted that. But the reality is, in Drogheda, and by the way, the issue in Drogheda was never about asylum seekers. It was about the displacement of hotel beds. Remember, the D Hotel itself. The D Hotel itself.
If you were in government earlier in the year, back in February and March. Okay, but can I put the question to you? Where would you have put
we
people?
Wouldn't be
because
at the
choice at the time was, as I understand it, the streets or the D Hotel.
We wouldn't have been at the point. I was in the middle of trying to address this
with
Roger O'Gorman. I'll never forget the phone call that we got, myself, Fergus O'Dowd, Rory, and indeed Imelda Munster. And we tried to manage that in solidarity. We managed that reasonably. It was a very, very tense week here in this community. It could have gone one way or the other. Mm. All of us decided, as public representatives, to take a responsible approach. And the people of Drogheda have shown solidarity over the years to people who come here seeking international protection and supports from this country. And that needs to be said. I will say this. The response of the people of Drogheda has been incredible.
Okay, you haven't answered my question as to what the Labour Party would have done in that situation.
Well, we would have implemented the Catherine Day report in 2021, so we wouldn't have actually had the problem to deal with in the first place.
Right.
This government has been extremely slow to develop the kinds of public facilities we need to manage the asylum process in
all
this country.
Rory.
Right, in relation to the D Hotel, we went through a complete farce. Myself, Imelda Munster, Joanna Byrne, some of the reps sitting around here, sat at a meeting with Leo Varadkar, who was Taoiseach at the time, with Roderick O'Gorman, Heather Humphreys, and we had this sort of farcical conversation about how there could be still a conversation in relation to using the hotel still, that it would be available for tourism. Now, as it turned out, as we all thought from the beginning, none of that worked out. Mm. So we went through this element of farce, and that's one of the issues people have. You go, you deal with IP, you do with the minister, you talk about possible solutions, and you put them to people, and then all of a sudden, what you think's going to happen, the worst case scenario happens, and then the hotel is actually taken away. And look, it has already been said how the system works is I'm the guy who has just bought a hotel because I've done this before.
Yeah.
I approach the state and say, wait till I tell you, for a load of money I will look after your IP problem.
Yeah,
and
because
the state,
there's an emergency. And we have nowhere else to put these people. So where would Sinn Féin
let's be clear. But the problem is with the system. Jed's already said it. Catherine Day had said in age before, that we need to have state-owned, state-run. And also that means we don't have the annoyance that happens in communities where a very small amount of people are making a huge amount of money. And whatever about them, we've also seen some two-bed operators that have made a fortune.
Both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil representatives on the panel this evening are not defending what they say in Alison's case is a chaotic immigration system. What they're saying was there's a huge influx of people and they were dealing with as best as they could. Now, if we're to take both of your words first, Jed and Rory, you'd have dealt with it all in 2021. Let's look forward, right?
Right.
What about for Sinn Féin and the reception centres that we and IPAS accommodation that we haven't got any detail? I'll put the question to you if you don't mind. So we've been told where you won't put the accommodation centres. Can you tell us, would Louth be a good idea, a good place for an accommodation centre in future?
Let's be absolutely clear. I'm not going to lay out where accommodation centres are going to go. Mm-hmm. We all know, on the basis of the CSO information and all those other factors that we know, places that don't suit in any way, shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that the state makes a determination on those areas that are best suited.
Easy
and
to
then,
rule places
no,
out,
no, no,
isn't
no, I accept that.
But here is the other issue as well, Sarah.
As much as we all accept migration is a very healthy thing, we know that there's a huge amount of people who work in our health services and all the rest of it, and we want to look after people in relation to international protection, but we have not dealt with the processing issue to enough of a degree, and that is the problem.
Kevin,
also,
do you think that Louth might be a good place for IPAS accommodation in the future?
Yeah, I don't see any issue with any county providing those accommodations. My concern is that we have reactionary government departments, like the Department of Justice in this respect. When I qualified as a barrister back in 2007, I worked for ORAC, the Office of the Refugee Applications Commissioner. I worked where decisions were made for people to leave the state after seeking protection. My job was to go in and argue for the commissioner that the decision was right. Dermot Ahern at the time appointed a panel of lawyers to clear the backlog. Irish people have not got confidence in the system. And we had the riots in Dublin, 10 million thrown into Garda overtime. We just see a minister and a department always reacting. Mm. So if the public had confidence in this system, I don't think anybody would have a problem or an issue. But at the minute, it's just so grey as to how long this takes, how long somebody is here. And there's an awful lot of false information out there as well.
As an independent candidate, do you think you can really make a difference? We, judging by the polls today, we're looking at a very disparate government next time around. So do you think as an independent candidate, you can really make a difference in this?
Like any party politician, it depends on the independent. Like, you have some independents who are not effective, and I'll be blunt about that, and you have some who are obstructionist and some who object to everything. That's not my style. I'm extremely constructive. I'm the chairman of the county council, first independent in 27 years, because I work with people. Mm. But we have to be realistic here. Government departments cannot work off social media and reacting all the time. That's what has people angry, and that is exactly what I'm hearing on the doorsteps.
All right, Alison, Fianna Fáil have made a bit of a bid for the justice portfolio if you get into government the next time out. What would you change? What would you do differently from what's been done for the last 5 years if you're in justice?
Talking about immigration still?
Yes.
OK, well, I definitely think we need to. I agree. We have been incredibly welcoming in County Louth for the IPAS system. But we do need to review. I think the fact that we will have one umbrella ministry looking after asylum management, immigration support, border security, I think that will make a huge difference in focusing on reviewing. We possibly have enough accommodation, but it might be being misused just simply in the way that we don't know who is using it at the moment. And I do think that we need to stop incentivising commercial properties to be used as accommodation for asylum seekers.
Bringing
it towards more state-run accommodation.
That's exactly what's been happening, though. I mean, it's a for-profit system now. And really what we should be doing is working to end the direct provision model anyway. A decision essentially was taken by this country to do that, but we're very, very slow to do it. And I'll say one thing. I mean, following up on something that was said by Rory earlier on about meetings with government ministers and so on, I helped to establish the Business Improvement District Scheme, the Love Drogheda scheme, a number of years ago. They carried out that economic assessment. I requested that they would do that so we could actually bring data to the Taoiseach. We met the Taoiseach in July and we actually asked for additional economic supports for Drogheda, and we essentially got what I might describe as the Cantorque treatment. We got the cold shoulder, nothing's been heard from him since, and we do need...
We were looking for a scheme
of contributions to local businesses, different supports that could be used to actually address the gaps that were created by the displacement of hotel beds. Louth County Council, and Kevin will know this very well, Louth County Council invested very heavily in the tourism product in Drogheda over a number of years, as did Fáilte Ireland Pulse Fla. We never had the opportunity to benefit actually from
Festival.
So we were essentially blanked by the Taoiseach when we went in to make the request for additional economic supports for businesses for this
town.
Thank
you, Jed. Paula?
I think, you know, we've been very clear. We've set out a plan that we're going to use state-owned lands now in terms of accommodation. We're also going to expand the community recognition fund. But key as well, we're going to have a plan for public services, and that'll help communities and the immigrants coming in
together.
But
sort of, in a way, we've moved on from the immigration question now to the wider economic health of the county and of Drogheda. And Jed is saying he had a meeting with the Taoiseach, your party leader. Okay. He was cold-shouldered when he was looking for economic supports for the area. Does that surprise you? Do you know anything about that?
He listened, but he didn't respond.
No, I think it's very unfair to say that, you know, nothing has been happening in Drogheda. You know, we can...
No, that's what I said. I said in direct response to the economic assessment and the analysis that we produced, that we presented at the Taoiseach, he gave us a very, very warm welcome, but essentially we were cold-shouldered after that.
All right, let's respond, please.
Not a single individual support has been provided to the businesses affected. The displacement in terms of jobs is very, very clear.
All right. Can you please
as is the economic assessment, close to 20 million euros cumulatively
over
3 years. Do you
have a response?
I do, actually. Like, in terms of... whether he responded to you or not, I think it's very clear that in Drogheda, employment is down over 5 years. It is down significantly. I believe also since the implementation of the Drogheda Implementation Board, there has been...
which was my idea. Yeah.
Which is 21 million has come from that Drogheda Implementation Board. It is not a case, if you look around Drogheda, you'll see that 2,000 houses have gone up over the last couple of years. Another 5,000 are coming up. We're looking at services.
These supports aren't needed, is that what you're saying?
No, there's always room for more supports.
Okay.
And particularly in relation to Drogheda as a town, it needs extra supports because it has been...
So are you sorry to hear that the Taoiseach didn't respond to Jed Nash's proposals?
I'm To be honest, I don't know why the Taoiseach didn't, but I know that Fine Gael and the government have been working on an economic plan.
All right, our panel, I will bring you in. I have to take a quick break and we'll come back to it after the break. Our panel are staying with us. Do stay with us.
Email drivetime at rte.ie.
And we are here at the Mill Enterprise Hub in Drogheda. Our panellists are still with us. We're joined here by independent Kevin Callan, Fianna Fáil's Alison Cumman, Fine Gael's Paula Butterley, Labour's Jed Nash and Sinn Féin's Rory O'Murricu. And just before the break, we were talking about investment in the area. I know, Rory, you just wanted to get into that before.
Yeah, no, well, look, what we were discussing at these meetings when they ended up in the place that we thought that the D Hotel would go out of commission, we all got that there was going to be millions and an economic loss, and the idea would be that government would deal with businesses from a point of view of mitigation specific to that problem. Drogheda has also lost, you know, BD, which would have had a very long history of manufacturing in this particular area. And as much as in, let's say, even in Dundalk, there's a significant amount of FDI, Drogheda probably falls into that bracket of being closer to Meath. It's seen more as
commuter. So are you saying the investment didn't happen?
No, I'm saying that it didn't happen in relation to those specific issues that they need dealt with. We know the issues on the high street, but I'm saying even beyond that, there's a need for IDA involvement in relation to Drogheda. There's also an issue in relation to Dundalk when we have worries in relation to Wuxi. We've had Wasdell that closed recently, and we have a wider issue in relation to that to pharma. Right, some of them are wider questions.
Alison, has the county as a whole, constituency as a whole, been left behind by this government, do you think, when it comes to investment and employment?
We've had body blows, there's no question. We have, as Rory mentioned, we have BD pulling out. We have Flowgas moving their headquarters. We had Marks and Spencers pulling out. We had Wuxi. We have to find out why these multinationals have not got confidence in us. Mm-hmm. We are ideally placed between Dublin and Belfast on the M1 corridor. There really should be no reason why we're not a very fertile ground. But I am very buoyed to see that FDI, there's a commitment that 60% will go to the regions, and it'll be my job to make sure that we get the lion's share in Louth of that 60%. So yes, we have to push to make sure that we are getting.
And what do you think about your government colleagues or Fianna Fáil ministers who would have left Louth behind?
Well, we haven't had a Fianna Fáil TD.
About Fianna Fáil ministers in government not shouting for Louth.
Well, that's what I mean. We haven't had a Fianna Fáil TD here shouting for Louth. So I have brought here, it's fitting we're sitting in the mill.
So you needed
Dara Cleary,
the constituency in order
I brought
to
Dara
get,
Cleary
right?
here, and he was able to see that this is a really, really magnificent facility. It's going to double its footprint. I brought him down to the Premier Pericles site. Planning has just gone in there for €1 billion of investment.
All right,
to
I want
area.
To bring Kevin in. I'll bring you in, Paula, in a second. Kevin, yes?
Yeah, like I've been a councillor for 15 years, I've been mayor of this town three times. I'm the county chairman. It's too little too late to come forward and say we are going to do something. The problem we've had locally is that we have not had the involvement from central government that's required. We have IDA parks in Drogheda, which are in County Meath, which have data centres in them, employing little or nobody. We've had businesses exit the town. When we've tried to deal with the IDA, we have not had a positive response. Jed's been around as long as I'm around and longer. We've been trying and banging our head off a wall for many, many years. So to me, in this election, it's one of the reasons I'm running. I'm sick to death of listening to people saying something is going to happen. There's absolutely zero record of delivering. This government has not delivered for South Louth and Mid Louth in terms of enterprise. We have fantastic local businesses which are holding the county up. But in terms of FDI, forget about it. It's nonsense.
Paula.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that we haven't been delivering for County Louth when unemployment is down by 45% in the term from 2016. There is enterprise there. We have been growing businesses in County Louth. The numbers are there. 45% unemployment, down by 45%. And that's pretty much equal between Dundalk, Drogheda and RD. On that point as well, I think as a border county, we have to look forward. We don't know what's around the corner. We've got a situation where we have a strong economy at the moment, but we continue to invest in County Louth. And for that, you need a strong, stable government who has delivered in the past and will continue to do so in the future.
We're sitting in a building here, the Mill Enterprise Hub in Drogheda. I grant aided phase two of this and actually was involved in organising the land for the initial phase of it as well. And we hope that there will be a third phase here to support the work that goes on in terms of our Indigenous SME sector. There's a huge imbalance in foreign direct investment in Louth A parliamentary question reply I received in the summer indicated that there are 24 IDA-backed investments in the north of the county and 9, soon to be 8, with the impending closure of
BD. So you agree
with
what Kevin's saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll say this as well. When Becton Dickinson announced that they were closing, and by the way, they need to start treating their workers and the trade unions negotiating on their behalf better. My father worked there.
Right, so I don't know anything about that specific
incident. To say this point, when I raised the issue of the BD impending closure with the Taoiseach and the Dáil in the summer, essentially his response was, well, we're bringing the Dart to Drogheda. There are nearly 20,000 people leaving this community every single day to work in Dublin and elsewhere. And that is impacting on the social fabric, especially of this town during the day. That was the Taoiseach's
response. Rory, you wanted to come in?
What we need is two things. A task force on jobs and investment here. If I'm elected, what actually this constituency needs is a senior member of government advocating for it. We need that. But we also need as well a Limerick 2030 style approach.
Such a pressing, folks, that you're mentioning you need a minister. The way politics works in this country. Is that what everyone's saying? That's what you said, Alison. We don't have a minister.
I actually think I think we need to get down to brass tacks a little bit more. We need local governance as well. We have to
bring in Rory. Go on, Rory.
Yeah, no, see, in relation to even those positives that have happened in Dundalk in relation to FDI, and I would agree in relation to the imbalance. But what I will say, a number of us were taken in as Oireachtas members in the last while by Louth County Council, just to put it absolutely clearly in front of us, that we are going to be constrained on the basis of Irish Water in relation to the infrastructure as regards wastewater. We know 500 houses were refused planning permission by an Bord Pleanála because the wastewater capacity in the part of Dundalk I live in wasn't there. But even beyond that, Wuxi, if we were to have another Wuxi looking to come in, the difficulty is we do not have the clean water capacity. Now, most people in Dundalk would tell you that with the brown water. Hopefully that's an issue will be dealt with by the pilot scheme that's nearly over at this point in time. But we have huge issues. That's before we speak about the grid or anything. So even for the IDA and task forces to do the business, we need to make sure there has been government failure in relation to delivering on infrastructure, because you can't open pipes that are under the ground.
Are you nodding?
No, I'm not. I'm saying in many ways we have become very fertile for the likes of investment. We are building more houses in this part of the country than anywhere else. We have got infrastructure to go along with it, but we have been badly let down.
The IDA will tell you housing is the biggest issue for their workforce, to call the rentals.
We are
so till we deal with that, that's going to be the issue.
And my apologies for that untimely break. There was gremlins on the line, but we are back and hopefully everyone can hear us okay. And I might come to you, Jed Nash, on the issue of crime in the area, because I know, like the rest of the country, really, there have been different issues when it comes to particularly Garda numbers and community Garda numbers.
Absolutely, there has, yeah. And the numbers are lower. We managed to secure quite than sort of comparable parts of the country. We managed to secure additional resources when we were dealing with the gang feud here. The concept that we developed was the Drogheda Implementation Board that was backed by the Department of Justice. And we have some issues here, there's no doubt about it. And part of it actually is, if you look at Drogheda, and this is for context for some listeners that won't be familiar, Drogheda is the sixth largest urban area in the country that's yet to be a city. It's administered by essentially two separate Garda districts. We have parts of East Meath that are actually in our constituency that rely on Ashbourne and stations in that area to actually respond to calls. Just earlier this year, I managed to get some of the estates in the Meath part of Drogheda into the Drogheda policing district, but the Gardaí didn't get the equivalent resources they needed to manage that extension in terms of the service.
Okay, let me bring Paula in on that, because I know, Paula, there was new figures out just this year showing that the number of community Gardaí have gone from 23 in 2022 to just 14 at the end of end of June 24.
Yeah, I just noted that Jed kept mentioning that we, but I just have to underline the fact that it was under the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Green government that we saw the fleet guards on the street, or the Garda recruitment, going from 319 to over 700. We also saw the fleet increase in that period of time from over 57 to 81. There have been marked improvements under the Drogheda Implementation Board, 21 million committed to the town of Drogheda to overcome these problems. I'm also a huge fan of passive surveillance, and we have committed a grant of over 100,000 in order to bring about the living over the shop, which in itself will bring eyes and ears to the streets. So to say that there hasn't been any progress, there has indeed been progress for County Louth, and I would have to say that it's going to continue. We're going to commit to recruiting even more guards Gardaí and more Gardaí on the streets, on the beat.
Every party, I think,
more,
is doing that.
And more rural.
Bring in you, Kevin, yeah.
Yeah, I sometimes feel I'm living in a different country to the government party representatives. I spent yesterday in Bettystown and Mornington, which is in County Meath, but part of this constituency. Crime is just massive there on the doors. People are extremely concerned about it. The Garda station in Laytown has been committed and promised for years that it's going to be upgraded and manned. You take Mid-Louth, Dunlear and Cullen, you have people who are subjected to serious robberies in their homes because the Garda station's not 24 hours. So I think we're living in this perpetual age of commitments and announcements which actually don't happen. And that is why people are so annoyed about it. But to say we're
so
on top of this...
Because the government say they are doing their very best to recruit Gardaí.
Like the fix is not to throw overtime at it, as we saw in Dublin with the feud. The fix is not to just to react in the day and try to get a positive story out tomorrow. A handle has to be gotten on this. And the Gardaí that are there, the serving Gardaí, and I've spoken to serving Gardaí, they're not paid enough. They're not treated with any respect. People who go into that job, and it's a tough job to go into, they're leaving the job within 6 months. And that shows a fundamental...
I want to bring in Roy.
You talk to any member of an Garda Síochána and what they'll tell you at the minute, they don't believe that government has their back. There are huge issues in relation to morale. We all know the issue in relation to recruitment and retention. That's why we've called for a task force that would report back in a couple of months, because we need to introduce...
Fine Gael already has a task force.
But here's the fact, they have failed miserably. We also need extra training positions, because the other issue that's going to come up, even if we dealt with that issue, you've a huge amount of retirements that are coming on board over the next number
of
years.
You're proposing to recruit quite a few less Gardaí than Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. 16,000 versus 20,000.
16,000 is a number we believe that we can recruit, that we have a plan to do. What we need to make sure is that we actually get more guards. I'm going to deal with this sort of stuff I end up dealing with, right? And right, there's obviously the incredibly serious stuff of drug debt intimidation, and most times somebody gets some vulnerable... some vulnerable guy to knock on the door on somebody's granny or whatever else, right? But see, one of the main issues that I've been dealing with when I go into Louth County Council at the minute is in relation to what you're dealing with. Absolutely minor criminals, chaotic families, and all the rest of it. We don't have the supports around the guards. The local authorities don't have the powers.
What Sinn Féin is proposing to do is a very small increase, actually, in the Garda allowance, for example, the Garda training allowance. Much smaller than what Fine Gael is proposing.
That's the initial. But what I've also said is we're looking at this task force from a point of view of all that is necessary. What we need to do, and that's by engaging properly with guards from a point of view, those guards that have left, and what will make a difference in relation to them.
We have come a huge way since we were, as everybody has said, in the grips of a drug feud, and that was Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It was a government decision to plough as much Garda intervention as possible to clean that up. We're now dealing with a different sort of crime in this area. It has been mentioned, yes, we've got Garda stations that are unmanned, and we need to put more into that. With 5,000 more Gardaí, that will certainly help. We do need at least...
Where are you getting them? Where are you getting the 5,000 more Gardaí? I mean, Fine Gael say they've been trying for the last 5 years to get 1,000 Gardaí every year, and they have not.
I've been hearing it on the doorstep. Yeah, so we will be increasing the training... the training allowance. That really will help to recruit. So we will be talking about putting a dedicated transport police as well.
What's the training allowance increasing to? Do you know?
Policy. This is new for Fianna Fáil, but...
I'd like Alison to answer. Do you know what the training allowance...
Apologies, I just don't have that figure.
Okay, I want to bring in Kevin.
I mean, the simple solution, right? And my two last costed alternative budgets proposed that new Garda recruits, remember as well, the age for admission into a Garda Síochána has been increased. There are people who are paying mortgages, people are paying rent, people are rearing children. €354 a week is not going to cut it.
Yeah.
So we have suggested that it should be brought to close to the starting salary of a member of a Garda Síochána. That is worth doing. Well, it depends on what time you come in. It could be about 35,000 to 40,000 euros, okay, for a salary for somebody coming into Tebo. And
right, so
ensuring as well
that Finns
Park
Kevin,
can accommodate new trainees as well.
Yeah, I fully agree with Jed on that. Like, people who take these types of jobs, it's a vocation. And if they're leaving within 6 months, there's something seriously and fundamentally wrong with the way that they are actually being trained and brought through that system. And again, going back to my days when I was practicing as a barrister, I went to Templemore. I used to train the Gardaí in terms of court procedure. And, you know, to see those people, they are committed. They're young, committed and positive. And to see them leaving after 6 months, and I've spoken to some of them that have left, we have a serious problem with the way the state are treating these people.
I think I've heard on the doorsteps as well.
I'll bring you in, Paul.
I have heard from members of the Gardaí on the doorsteps, and they are telling me that they're frustrated that they can't carry out their jobs, that there's far too much admin involved as well. So that's one of the frustrations, and the fact that there will be an increase in the number of civilian staff within AGS in order to assist with that, that will certainly help with...
All right. Paula, last word to you, and just 10 seconds, please.
Yeah, I just don't accept this narrative that some of them are peddling here about crime being rampant.
Dealing with serious criminality every day of the week.
Sexual assaults are down, assaults are down, drunk driving is down. Drug offences are down. We are have
fine.
Made
you
progress and will continue
that.
To all make right. progress. There's no doubt.
Where and I think you walk down that street, you'll find the drug dealers very, very quickly.
Thank
this
you,
is an absolute
thank you, Paula.
Farce.
Thank you all so much for joining us. You've been listening to Kevin Callan, Alison Cumin, Paula Butterley, Jed Nash and Rory O'Murray. Thank you all very much for joining us.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And there's a full list of the candidates in all of the constituencies, including Louth, on the RTE website.